There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Welcome back to another episode of
No Sleep.
Another episode of Mostly Lit. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Life is good.
Everything blessed.
Good. Everything blessed.
Everything alright.
Life is great. I only say this obviously because I just come back from holiday, going back on holiday again.
Living your best life.
Yeah, and like obviously. Was it last time I mentioned that I was working really hard on something and that thing has like turned out to be great.
Good.
And so it's like, you know when you're just like, God is on one. Like, you know, back in, I used to think, when bad things happen, like the world was like conspiring against you. But then you just have to be like, you have to act from a place of faith and not fear. Everything good.
I see.
How are you?
I'm all right. Everything's basically, so I've been off Instagram this month. I've been on Twitter sporadically.
Sporadically. Do you know why that's funny, that word?
No, I don't.
Have you watched Clueless?
No, I haven't watched Clueless.
Wait, what?
I haven't watched Clueless. Oh, something.
Whoa!
What are you talking about, the series or the film?
The film.
No,
Stacey Dash.
I haven't watched the film. But I remember watching the series.
Okay, well, we're going to have to, make you watch that. Okay. So now I can't say what I want to say until you've seen it.
Okay,
so
it's cool. Being off and just kind of like really taking a step back from socials and stuff for the whole of July. Everything is in retrograde, so I'm a bit like...
Not even just Mercury, everything, all the planets.
Mercury and flipping, was it Neptune? But anyway, like, it's just everything's just kind of taking a step back and I'm like just chilling, literally been just listening to music. I mean, because I was saying like this summer, because I was saying be careful what you wish for. Number one, because I remember when I was working full time and I was like, I haven't got a summer, I want to have a summer, X, Y, and Z. And then I came out of the full time work. And then obviously I have a summer, but I have less money. So it's a bit like all the stuff that I would want to do in the summer. So you have to be very specific about what you ask for as well. Yeah. That's kind of the things I've been really like figuring out this month. Just like be very specific, kind of like knowing who's around you, what kind of spaces you're in. Not taking things too personally either, and just really kind of understanding that all these things happen. You can't be walking around with anxiety. You can't be walking around with all that suffering and all that stuff. But that's kind of what I've been up to. Like, I've just literally just been chilling, eating roti.
Yes.
Eating Caribbean food. That's all I've been doing. Just been kind of doing that.
I haven't been eating that much.
Yeah. Ray knows why.
But you know, hot girl summer.
What do you think about this whole thing? Before we get into the book talk anyway.
Yeah.
What do you think about this whole city boy, hot girl situation? Because I'm like...
Well, this city boy thing, what is it exactly?
I feel like it's something...
Is it just men being trashed? But isn't that every day?
I do feel like, obviously I'm not on Twitter. Yeah. I'm hearing stuff like on like shows and whatever, and I'm seeing people talking about this, and I'm like, why are people doing this whole City Boy thing?
It's so like, I think they needed to balance it out. They couldn't just like get the like hot girl summer. For me is like, as a young hot woman, you're just enjoying your life, you're having great time with your friends and your family and your loved ones. You're getting the money, you're getting the, you know, and you're just enjoying yourself.
Doesn't need to be an equivalent. Megan Thee Stallion's already said it's gender neutral.
Exactly.
It's a hot boy, hot girl summer. Yeah.
But then City Boys to me just sounds rather ratch.
Yeah.
It just sounds like something that, oh, we need to have something as well. We need to make it worse.
We need to be a part of it. Anyway.
Mind your business.
But anyway, yeah, so it's a hot boy, hot girl summer.
Hot girl summer. It actually is. I realized I was talking to one of my friends and I was like, oh, we were talking about when have you felt like, when was it like the first time that you maybe you felt like a woman, or you felt like the woman that you prayed to be, you've become, and have you reached that stage yet? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like for me when I was younger, I really wanted to be independent. I wanted to travel. I wanted to have good future prospects. And I remember when I came back from South France, like last week or the week before, I got like landed at Heathrow at like midnight, no, like 10 something. And then I remember took an Uber all the way back home, came out of the Uber, and it was the process of me coming out of the Uber, getting my bag, opening my post box to take out my new job contract, and then stepping into my house. And in that moment I was like,
that's all too much.
Yo, like I'm a grown ass woman. And I feel like this summer has really like encapsulated that for me. It's like, oh, like I've really, like it's a proper hot girl summer for me, in that I've really enjoyed myself. I have amazing friends. And like, obviously home situation is so much better, like from when I moved. And it's that balance, that coming together of things, that equilibrium and that joy and not having that anxiety, that is just like amazing. And I'm just like, oh my God, I hope, like, obviously life has its trials, but I really want to hold on to that for as long as possible. Always remembering that, like, you have to, like, joy has to be something that is like tangible to you, even when circumstances change.
Honestly,
joy still has to be somewhat constant. So yeah, it's a real hot girl summer.
It really is.
Just enjoying life. It really is. Living lavish. Enjoyment.
You know, in people, people just need to kind of like, just get a grip and enjoy their summer. And like, especially like, this weather's trash at the minute, but it was hot this week too.
Yo, but I don't like England heat, because England heat doesn't come with breeze.
I stayed in my house.
That day when it was like 38, 39, I was just like, this is despicable. Aircon, I was like, oh my God, let me run to you. Yeah. Like, I just, you know, it's also, it was the day that Boris Johnson got put in as prime minister. And everyone was like, hell has opened.
The Geminis are taking...
The Geminis
are running the West. I'm like, I don't know what to expect.
You guys need to lay off Geminis.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like when the Death Eaters took over the Ministry of Magic. This is what it feels like. This is what it feels like. And nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody else is going on.
And they're like, oh, it's really hot and everything. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it could just be magic happening. And we just
We just don't know. Damn.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so what are you reading?
So I'm literally finishing off the collection of essays by Chimamanda. And I have to say, now that I'm like well into it and nearly finishing off, I do enjoy it. It's called The Thing Around Your Neck. However, I think for me, Chimamanda is somebody that you have to stay with. You have to really marinate in her work to really be able to enjoy it. Which is why, like, I've liked all of her, like, novels. However, obviously, Half a Year of Sun's my favourite. But with short stories, I find that just as I'm beginning to touch some base, just as I'm beginning to find that depth in meaning in her work, it finishes. So I'm just not really... I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'll read one story before bed.
Are they short stories?
Yeah, they're short
stories. That's the point, though, isn't it?
I know, but I'm just like, there was like one story that really touched me. It was done really well, about this young Nigerian woman who like got married to her man in Nigeria, and then the guy moved over to the States, and she's like really accomplished, and you know, she's educated, she has a master's, blah, blah, blah. And then she comes to the States and she's like this babysitter. And then it's, she kind of weirdly, I think, falls in love or finds an attraction with between her and this African-American woman. And I think what Chimamanda was trying to touch on is that diasporic identity mixed with the African-American black identity and how those two kind of clash or mold together or can come to really love each other. But it was so, like, just like the last line was like, oh! And then I'm like, really? Come on, give me more. Yeah, so that's what I'm reading and we're finishing off and I'm starting Silence is My Mother Tongue. So hopefully...
Did I give you the copy?
You did give me the copy,
Okay.
So it's on my bedside table.
Oh,
so
we can do that. Yeah, let's do an episode on that, actually.
Yeah, so I'm going to read that. And I know that you said it was... Because the guy, was it... Was, are they East African or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really excited to read that. Also...
Oh, wow.
So a good friend of mine read A Little Life and I was waiting for her, like, yeah, I know. I was waiting for her, like,
let's do an episode on that.
Commentary, because I was like, okay, I know Alex read this book and he was like greatly traumatized. And I like,
oh, I was,
and Eden from,
That's Pod.
That's Pod also read it and I saw his tweets on it. And my friend, she's like, also a lawyer, but she's like a really big reader. She's literally always like has her nose in a book and she read it and I spoke to her about it and she's like, Ray, like, I felt like I was abused. She was literally like, I am abused. I have to now read Sophie Kinsella for the next 2 weeks just to get over this feeling.
Do you know?
And I'm like, is it a happy ending? And she's like, no. And I was like, but Alex told me it was happy.
She should, the thing is, she should not be telling you anything other than just read the book.
Yeah.
And you can't you cannot have a conversation about that book until you've read it. You can't have a conversation with somebody about it until you've read it. Because there are peaks and troughs.
Yeah. Really?
And...
So that's the thing. I'm just going to like guess it and like blitz through it.
Yeah, the one thing I will say about that book, it makes you feel a little bit deeper. That is it. Like, it makes you
feel like everything.
Makes you feel a lot deeper. Like,
once you've read it.
Yeah. And you'll know what I mean once you've read it.
Okay.
So I'm just
like, what do you feel like you know the meaning of life?
Not even, but you feel a lot deeper. That's all I got to say. I can't say anymore until you've read the book.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Okay, so, yeah, finishing off Things Around Your Neck, starting
Silence is My Mother Tongue,
and possibly, like, by Monday, I'll get A Little Life and just, like, read it throughout the week. And then we'll talk. I'm so excited to get stuck into these books, guys. And also, I'm reading again, which is so much better because I had that drought.
Yeah.
And now it feels so good to just be able to just read and enjoy reading.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just reading again, it's just been beautiful.
Yeah.
Properly.
Just, oh, I love it. Love it. Anyways, so yeah. Okay. What are you reading?
What am I reading? Let me just pull up my Audible account.
Oh, God, here we go.
So I started reading this book called The Art of Not Falling Apart by Christina Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
She's a journalist. And she went through several redundancies with The Independent. And
I think you've spoken
about it. I've just finished it off.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting stories. She speaks to people about falling apart and how not to do it. Great book. I also was reading a book called, that my friend recommended to me, mm-hmm. called The Science of Fate.
Do you believe in fate?
Yes and no.
Hmm.
Yes,
same.
Actually.
Yes and no.
Because, but this is kind of like, she basically has, you know, there's certain questions people have about like things like, you know, the nature of sexuality or the nature of intelligence and the nature of all that stuff. And she kind of like balances it with the science and the faith mm-hmm. kind of thing. So she kind of like has the balance discussion there. And it's a good way to start thinking about the bigger issues, mm-hmm. but actually just starting to think just a bit more introspectively about stuff. But obviously we look for proof.
Yeah.
Do we not?
Yeah.
And because we're looking for proof, like when you're talking about these big issues, it makes sense to kind of like have the like balance it with the science and see whether they work together. Whether they can work together. But yeah, so that's a good book that I read. And also I basically subscribed to the Parish Review.
The Paris
Review.
Right.
So, and they have loads of different essays on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an essay on there called The Crane Wife, which I sent to you.
I saw that.
It's called The Crane Wife.
Yeah.
And it's by an author called C.J. Hauser.
Yeah.
And it's like, the person who mentioned it they said that art is one of the most beautiful pieces of writing that they've ever read, or like read. And I started reading it and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's as I got through it, I was like, the way that she's crafted this essay, the way that she's crafted it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. And so it says
10 days after calling off her engagement, CJ Houser travels to the Gulf Coast to live among scientists and whooping cranes.
So basically she's writing a novel. She was writing a novel and she needed to have the factual stuff about, you know, cranes and stuff.
Yeah.
So she went on this trip with some other scientists and whatnot. But it was just like, it was kind of, it's an essay about her knowing what she needs and people understanding what she needs and the stuff and what she didn't get in her relationship. So when she was with her then fiance or whatever, he wasn't providing her what she needed, and she didn't feel like she could need anything.
I see.
And it was like the way she kind of balanced it off was like, you know, she's talking to these new people on this retreat, but then also she balancing it against, you know, her ex fiance kind of like cheating on her, but then her still accepting the engagement. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, still accepting all these things because she felt like this is what she was supposed to want.
Yes.
And it wasn't like, and he, just a trash guy, but like he was like, you know, she was like, you know, when he even proposed to her, there wasn't any kind of romance around it. It was literally just like, he proposed to her in the park, which is like, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. But then he kind of like played it off with like a bachelor reference, like with a rose and doing all that stuff.
Oh God,
you want the rose sort of thing. And she was just like, is this kind of what I'm supposed to be accepting? Mm. You know what I mean? And it was just, and it's a question about like accepting what you accepting, what people think you need and what people believe you should have and whatnot. Yeah. And she comes to the conclusion that people do know what other people need and what they want. And it's just about having that mindfulness to kind of be like, this is what you need.
Yeah.
And I think there's a very like key scene in the essay where she like gets to control the boat at the retreat when they're doing the crane thing. And it was like that. And she was like to the guy, I don't know how to drive it. He was like, that's fine. Just go.
Yeah.
And it was like that freedom to kind of like, all right, I'm going to press the thing now and go. She's like trying to do it. He's there, obviously. And he's just like, live your life, like just enjoy the things. So
and don't be afraid.
Yeah. So she's a writer.
Yeah.
She's a writer. She's an author, professor. And that's what I'm reading.
Sweet.
Beautiful.
Do you have any questions for me today?
Do I have any questions for you? I'm changing that.
Okay.
But so when we get to that segment, I'm gonna tell you why.
Yeah, I just remembered. I was like, oh wait.
I'm gonna tell you why because you haven't watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, did you?
No.
Right. So I'm gonna come in. We're gonna get to that.
Oh no.
We're gonna get to that.
Okay. So should we get stuck on?
Yeah. Stuck on. Stuck in.
Stuck on. Sorry, foreigner.
Let's go.
Okay. So in this week's episode, I literally messaged Alex being like, oh, I'm so happy. Let's do something. Let's do poetry one, because we hardly ever do poetry. Mm-hmm. And let's do poetry, a reading maybe, and an explanation of why you've chosen this certain poem and what it reminds you of, blah, blah, blah. So essentially, it's poems that make you happy or poems that remind you of happiness or some sort of joy in your life. Or even you can just love the way it's written. And I tasked Alex with 3 to 4 poems. Mm. And obviously I've chosen some as well, but it will be really nice to see what
we kind of come up
what you've come up with, and I'd really like to, you know, sort of read and hear from them. So what do you have for us?
All right, so what I've got
first poem.
So what I did, I went with a contemporary.
Yeah.
Local.
Yeah.
I went with contemporary classic.
Yeah.
And I went with a more fun kind of poem.
Yeah.
So basically, the first one I've got is by a London-based writer called Tapiwa Magabi.
Oh, yes.
And I love him.
Yeah.
I love everything that he writes. He's been writing for so long.
Yeah.
And like, I remember when he first dropped his like books, I was all up on Kindle with them.
So he's Zimbabwean.
Yeah, Zimbabwean. Let me just double check exactly what the collection's called. It's called Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a poem called Tides, which I really like.
Okay.
Because the thing about poetry, obviously, is that when it's so introspective to you, and like, and the kind of thing about, and even micro poetry as well, they were very like, I think the whole Iris Daily Wards,
yeah,
Hossein Jire, Nayara Wahid,
yeah,
all those guys, they had these really impactful, they packed a punch in all of the poems that they wrote.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is
Tides.
Yeah, this is Tides by Tapiwa Mugabe.
Okay. Got it up.
You got it up? You got the poem up?
Yes.
Might as well. Okay. Tides. Days when I'm drunk on life and my spirit is full. When I'm all laughter, I use those days to chase after dreams. My spirit is strong and I am full of life. Days when I want to hide and my soul wants stillness. When my spirit reminds me of the beauty and vanity of everything. I use those days to ground myself. My spirit is strong and I am full of life.
Oh, I love that, those last two lines.
Yeah. So I looked at this as like as a reminder that, because I think what I feel like what we do lack in life is we do have a crisis of spirituality, I think. And the kind of journey I've been on has kind of dictated that, I've seen. And when we take for granted the little things over the material. And so little things like laughter, little things like building your spirit. I remember when I was in therapy, there was this like, I was just like to my therapist, oh, I want to kind of, I need to, my spirit needs to be full again. Like, I feel really empty. I feel really drained. Obviously, I was on the back of so many like awkward and negative kind of like relationships and vibes. And it was like over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks, it was really about going inward and trying to figure out exactly what kind of like fed me. And I found that music fed me. So obviously I had my piano and I got my piano out. I started playing again. Writing fed me. So I started writing a lot more. So I started writing a lot more disciplined and a lot more structured. And just like when I needed to write something, I've got everything out. And laughter and enjoyment and just trying to be around like fun things a lot more. Not trying to take myself too seriously, not being too serious at the same time. And this is kind of, this poem kind of like showed that up for me. Because, you know, it's like when he said days when I'm drunk on life and my spirit is full, like when you're literally
those
like,
moments, yeah,
those moments so when you just, when you, moments when you have so many, like just when you're just chilling. Like the other day, I think a few weeks back, I was like literally in the park and I was eating roti with my friend. And I was just like, they're just eating. I was just like eating and it was just like, it was
enjoying
fine.
Yourself.
It was just,
yeah.
It was just chill. Like there was nothing. It was just literally, and my mum was like, okay, I was like, what are you doing today? I was like, oh, I'm going to eat roti in the park. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Cause, and the thing is, something so simple. So it was one of the most simplest days.
Yeah.
It was just like, and it was the most simplest of plans. And that's kind of what I like. Just a simple plan, conversation, eating.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's kind of what I, yeah, it's kind of what I enjoy.
Yeah.
And when you're drunk on life, when your spirit is full,
so that's Tides by Tapiwa Mugabe.
Tides by Tapiwa Mugabe.
So from his selection.
From a collection of called Zimbabwe. Yes. Oh, there's another bit of one. Days when I want to hide and my soul wants stillness. Yeah. I have that a lot. Like, I just don't want to go nowhere. But also, have you ever been in those spaces where you're like, you don't want to go anywhere, but you go out anyway?
Yeah. I stopped doing that.
You stopped doing what?
Because
going
I used
out?
To do that a lot when I knew inside I didn't want to go, but I was like, oh, I should go because I, you know, I don't want to miss out on something. I used to have a lot of FOMO back in the day. And now I remember there was like a party happening on a Friday and like my friends were going and I was the one even telling other people, it got to the day and I was like, I don't want to go. And I chose to stay at like home in my bed and I saw all the snaps, all my girls and my friend was like, oh my God, the DJ today was amazing. You should have been here. And as much as I was like, oh, like, yeah, sad to have missed it, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was in my bed and I was really happy about it. So I think listening to your body and listening to your soul and your heart when it tells you not to do stuff.
Yeah.
Because like, do you know how lonely it is going to plans and you don't want to be there and you're just there like watching other people have fun and it just almost feels like you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enriching at all.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And But there's sometimes, you know, when I feel like, that's one side of it as well, which is very fair. Because sometimes when I don't want to go somewhere and then I end up going and I have a great time.
That's on my side. That's a nice surprise.
That's always a nice surprise. And you're like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I had a good time. So it's a balance. But obviously, you're right. It's about listening to what your body's saying, what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And if you're not feeling, doing all of that, then, obviously
I used to be so, nervous back in the day. I was like, I have to be everywhere. And now I'm like, I just don't.
Yeah, I don't care. Like,
it's just like, oh no, actually, I love my presence, and I can deal with myself, and I enjoy being by myself. That it's important for me. I realize I'm an introvert, and it's important that I recharge as well.
Yeah,
because sometimes you just have back to back.
We've been there, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I will be at these places and I'll have fun and I'll be chatty, whatever. But there's days when I'm just like, oh, I'm just in my house. It's fine. It's actually okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, that's Tapio Mugabe. The book is called Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And it's the poem that I love is called Tides.
Yeah.
And yes, go out and get it. Tweet him, hashtag him, do whatever. Bombard his mentions. Get the books. He's written so many things, and he's on Instagram at Mugabe Tapiwe, I think it is. But anyway, if you search him, you'll find him.
Yeah.
On there.
Lovely. Okay, so my first poem that I've chosen, I remember the first time I read this poem, I just was like, because it taught me appreciation of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Sir Derek Alton Walcott, St. Lucian poet.
Derek Walcott.
Playwright. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a really lovely collection of poetry, actually, that you guys should get. I'll get the name up for you guys later when I remember. But he's
actually. Is it Odyssey?
Odyssey.
Yeah.
I loved Odyssey. I studied it.
I tried to memorize the first two pages.
Yeah. I loved Odyssey. But yeah, he's obviously a Nobel Prize. He's got a Nobel Prize in literature, an amazing St. Lucian playwright and poet. The poem that I've chosen is a poem that he has called Love After Love. I think you must have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes like this. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life. I'm annoyed now because that went. Whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your life. I fucking love that poem.
Mm.
Adore it. And I think for me, this poem is very much like, obviously you have the main issue of you've ignored yourself for so long. Like, you will love again the stranger who was yourself. And I think that for me is so important because in this life, there are so many things that happen that make us forget our purpose. It makes us forget our own goals, and it makes us forget or it makes us almost negligent to ourselves. And I think it's very important to naturally always care about people, have fun, enjoy your life. But there is a sacred responsibility, I feel, in loving yourself.
Of course,
and it's not even like a responsibility whereby, you know, this whole like kind of Twitter, social media, love yourself, girl, you know, hey, like it's not that. It's almost, I say, like, I don't want to say biblical, but it's sacred. And in protecting your not just your soul, but the thing that houses your soul, your body, seeing yourself is so vital in, I guess, mental progression that you need to appreciate yourself and almost mother yourself. Like, you grow up and other people don't take care of you because they assume that you can take care of yourself. But in taking care of yourself, you have to assume the responsibilities that maybe your mother or father or guardians have taken care of you before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to be able to look after yourself, whether it's going to the gym, taking yourself. Like, I always think of it as like the prisms or like the sort of triangle of like mental, physical, and spiritual self.
Yeah, yeah.
If those those three things can come to an equilibrium, naturally things will happen that will rock the boat in each sort of hemisphere, but always coming back to yourself and greeting that person that you see in the mirror and being able to smile.
Most definitely.
And also I think for me in this poem, the last line I love, because like sit, feast on your life is like, I was even talking about just going back to therapy when I was remember telling, like, back in the day, this was like, God, like January, and I was really unhappy. And I was telling my therapist, like, I'm not grateful for my life. Like, I'm not grateful for the good things that I have because I don't see them. And she's like, she was literally like, do you sit with yourself and look at the good things and have active gratefulness? Don't just say you're grateful, but do you actively like practice gratefulness? And I'm like, nah. So she was like, she gave me this like piece of paper with like little things to do. So she's like 20 things that I have to do every day. And I just sit and appreciate it. So whether it's having my morning coffee, whether it's looking at the sun, whether it's like breathing in and just writing it down, like, I appreciated the sun today. Mm. I appreciated taking this. And for me, that kind of goes really well with this whole idea of feasting on your life. Mm. Like, it's almost like, as you say, your spirit is full because you're eating up all of these amazing things that you should be grateful for. And they could be so mundane, like the sun rising and you watching it. It could be your friend laughing and you just taking in that happiness from them. Love after love. I think it's like one of the most beautiful.
Love after love.
Beautiful poems.
Is it in Odyssey? It's in Odyssey.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
But yeah, Love After Love by Sir Derek Walcott. Read it, guys. It's one of my faves. What do we have for you? What's your next one?
So this is the contemporary classic.
Yeah.
One of my favorite poets is Pablo Neruda.
Yeah.
he spun me when I first started reading him. Obviously, because I was studying Spanish at the time, and I found it, and I just thought, and you know. Obviously, they read better in Spanish, but which I'm not going to do today. But no, they always put both. They put the Spanish and the English
and
after.
English, yeah.
So in like most of his copies, his work.
Okay.
Pablo Neruda is a very interesting man. You know, he kind of married politics and literature, and in his life as well. He's a very private man, and he wrote extensively about love. And this poem, all right, it's not morbid, guys, but it's called When I Die, I Want Your Hands on My Eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
this is your happy poem, yeah?
It's not even a happy poem. Like, the thing is, all right. So
or does it give you joy?
Happiness is just subjective.
Okay.
But like, I mean, it's not necessarily a happy poem. It doesn't make me happy. It just makes me think about a kind of love.
Mm.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's get Alex's Reed's voice.
That voice, hashtag that voice.
All right. When I die, I want your hands on my eyes. I want the light and wheat of your beloved hands to pass their freshness over me one more time to feel the smoothness that changed my destiny. I want you to live while I wait for you asleep. I want for your eats to go on hearing the wind. Sorry, I want for your ears to go and hearing the wind, for you to smell the sea that we loved together, and for you to go on walking the sand where we've walked. I want for what I love to go on living, and as for you, I loved you and sang you above everything. For that, go on flowering, flowery one, so that you reach all that my love orders for you, so that my shadow passes through your hair, so that they know by the reason for my song. So, especially that last bit, hold on. So that you reach all that my love orders for you, so that my shadow passes through your hair, so that they know by this the reason for my song. Again, it's a question of legacy.
Legacy.
Because I think, what was I listening to? I was listening, it's a podcast, and it's hosted by a therapist. And he reads out a lot of people's dilemmas and whatnot that they have about therapy. And obviously he disclaims that I'm not your therapist, I'm not your X, Y, and Z. I'm just giving a general thing. And there was a question about what do you do when you're counselor dies. Because she, I think it was a woman, yeah, she went to therapy and she was like, you know, she couldn't get through to them. She wanted, you know, because obviously you build a connection and relationship with this therapist. And, you know, she went to the office and it was like, oh, all therapy sessions with this person need to be rearranged, blah, 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 blah. She's like, what's going on? Where is she, et cetera. And obviously when you have anxiety, you don't want to be left sort of thing. So you build a connection with somebody, then they go and it's like, ooh, it's this person, this is the person I want. I can't live without it. I can't, you know what I mean? And obviously, when they die, what do you do? And he was basically saying, look, like, as a therapist, they see a lot of their patients come and go. Mm. Like, literally, some of them survive, some of them don't always survive. And it's a process of him trying to figure out, like, what that takes as a therapist and whatnot. So on the other side, he can understand the kind of the anxiety that they have as the patient because they have the needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the therapist kind of like has to provide the balance for it.
Yeah.
But what he said was that, like, because obviously he doesn't necessarily believe in anything after. He's not discounting that he doesn't, it's not there. He just doesn't know, obviously. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as men of science or people of science, therapists. But then he was like, it's all about what you leave here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that we can kind of like focus on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they don't tend to focus on that when it comes to death, especially when it comes to dogmatic religion and it comes to all of those kind of beliefs.
Yeah.
It's all about, oh, I'm going to the promised land. I'm going there. This is what I'm going to do. And it's like, okay, but what are you doing here?
What is the impact that you're going to leave?
What are you going to leave here?
Yeah.
Why are you, you know, like,
do they have
why
children?
Are you so focused on that?
Because I feel like people with children think a lot about what they leave behind or people who want children.
You know, oh, possibly. But who's they? Oh, as in the question.
Like individuals.
Yeah, I mean, that sometimes. I mean, like, it depends on what you deem as. Because the thing is, right, you know, being a parent, it doesn't, not necessarily you actually having to be the biological parent to any of these kids or whatever. Definitely. And it depends. It all depends on what your mission is, what your goals are, what your purpose is, and all that stuff. And so this poem was quite like, when you're leaving somebody behind, what do you want to leave them with?
Mm.
Do you want to be remembered in them when you go? And that's kind of what Pablo was writing about. He's like, this is kind of, I want to be like, and it is a kind of a narcissistic thing in a way, because obviously that, I think by the time you get to death, all you really have is narcissism, because you're just like, well, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I was sitting there, I was watching TV, and I was like, this is so mad. The fact that I'm human, I'm alive, I'm conscious, I'm watching TV of other people who are alive, human, or alive, depending on alive, conscious, and human.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, at any point, that could end.
Yeah.
And then it's all about what are you leaving? So, for example, that work that they're doing on TV, that will continue when they die, because it's part of their catalogue. You know, this work we're doing will continue when we go, because it's here, you know?
But you don't even need to look at it as just death. Like, for me, it's just equally as important as you meet people and then you just one day don't have them in your lives. I think it's very important to always think about actually who, whenever I'm communicating with someone, what is the impact that I'm having on them? Was it Maya Angelou who said, or I don't know who, but it's like, people always remember how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do all sorts, but when you're gone and you're not there and somebody mentions your name, that first instinct is, oh, they made me feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, for me anyway, it's very important that like I impact people in a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I'm pissed off sometimes, I try and like, I guess it's like a new thing. It's like just constantly thinking, not constantly, but just thinking like, actually, I don't know you, but this is why I'm like, be kind to strangers, or do you know what I mean? Because that kindness goes a very long way.
Mm-hmm. The thing I can't really tolerate is, whatever people's perception they have of another person, whatever experience they've had of another person, whatever they decide is, whatever they decide is that affirmed thing that they believe about that X, Y, Z person.
Yeah.
I can't abide negative talk about said people. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, everybody's changing, everybody's in flux. everybody has a right to feel angry. Everybody has a right to be upset. Yeah. Everybody also has a right to be happy. Everybody has a right to be joyful and at peace.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're generally being kind to people, be kind genuinely. Be kind and believe in what you're saying and what you're believing. And you should be consistent in your kindness as well. Because you know
what? I like that consistency. Yeah,
consistency in your kindness. And the thing is, it's something to work on as well.
Mm.
Because it's like if you're kind to somebody and you're kind and you're like, you know, you're generally friendly and less kind and you want the best. Because when I go into certain situations and encounter people, I meet them with love. I meet them with kindness. Because literally you have to meet them with that kindness, genuinely.
Yeah.
And that is what I kind of like believe when we go forward and we start to meet new people, because hanging on to all these things, like the person that's suffering is not the other person or their person. You know what I mean? If you meet somebody, and obviously there are going to be disagreements, there are going to be problems, there are going to be issues, there are going to be miscommunication, there are going to be all these things. But I think the sooner we understand that they are all processes of life,
the sooner you get over it.
Knowing that you're going to get over it. Yeah, processes of life, like, but who's, and it's all about who's carrying it next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who's like, bearing that burden?
I'm not, like, you know, why are you, if you're carrying issues and problems that the other person is no longer carrying, who's tired?
Honestly, you. Nobody else.
So.
That's why you cannot take paracetamol or whatever for somebody else's headache.
There we go. You just end up drugged.
Can you imagine? And people ask you what's wrong and you're like nothing.
Yeah, because now you're the one that's suffering. And that was one of the biggest things that I had to kind of learn.
Yeah.
Just in general. You know?
The one thing I learned is like just having my own energy and like my own energy being consistent with me and not tampering or changing depending on like the people I'm around. And I think that's what I used to go through a lot. And now it's like, actually, this is where I am. I'm not going to reach up to your level or go down or up or whatever. Just like energy states.
Because
back in the day when like someone was sad and I used to be around them, I used to also get sad.
Yeah.
I just take it on and I'll just be so down.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why am I sad?
Yeah.
Nothing has happened to me.
Yeah. And the thing is like, and what one of my friends said to me last week was, we are responsible for our own relationships and our own happiness and reactions to things.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Things like, you know what I mean, like I can't be responsible for you.
Yeah.
You can't be responsible for me.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. But we can be responsible for how we interact and react to certain things with regards to one another.
Yeah.
For example, and that was kind of that's kind of where this poem led me. But
I like it.
I love Pablo Neruda. When I go home, I'm gonna read like all of his stuff and just like binge on that.
Yeah. Okay. So my next poem is a quite, you know, famous poem, by Maya Angelou called Caged Bird. And I chose this poem because I feel like it really like relates to my life and how far I've come as just a young woman. Just last year and this year for me has been such a growth period. And it has been the most exhilarating, adventurous, like, ride, but a ride that is like almost like self-discovery in a way. I feel like before I was a caged bird in that the only time I'd go out to fly, as it were, is under somebody else's time or from somebody else. And sometimes a girl just wants to fly, right? And there's that freedom that when you know entrapment, when you taste freedom, it feels so much sweeter. Mm. But freedom in everything, freedom of thought, freedom of life, freedom of appreciation, the freedom to make your own decisions. So this is Caged Bird by Maya Angelou. A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze, and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees, and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. I love the poem so much. I love it so much.
Her imagery is like
top notch.
On fleek.
Like legit, like just phenomenal. And I think for me, it's the dichotomous relationship between the free bird and the caged bird, in that the free bird names the sky his own. You know, this free bird dares to claim the sky. Mm. Like, this is where I belong. Whereas the caged bird, all they can do is sing out loud. That is how to get their message across. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the luxury of naming the sky their own. They don't have the luxury of daring to claim the sky, as it were. And this poem really makes me happy because it really shows you that even if you don't have certain freedoms, you still have your voice, and your voice is just as powerful, and your voice is just as interesting and valuable. And I think it was, is it Dr. King or that said, like, if you can't, it might have been Maya Angelou again, but, you know, if you can't change something with your hands, then change it with this. And if you can't change it with maybe your hands and your actions, then change it with your words, or just the thing that you have is your voice. Even if you don't have the power to do anything else, you have your voice to encourage or condemn. Do you know what I mean? I think that's really powerful. And I think every sort of girl, young woman, man, young man, like everyone, as soon as they realize the power of their voice, it's almost like, ah, I have this thing that I have been in, like, given intrinsically to speak out on things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is why I love this poem. That's why I chose it. Makes
it's
me happy.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful poem. I like her poem, In and Out of Time.
In and Out of Time?
Was it The Mists Are Gone, The Winds Are Cleared?
Is it
the
that
sun has come up. I can't remember what the first line is, but it's something to do with the sunshine. Because I remember they read it at Madea's family reunion on Tyler Perry's.
The sun has come.
The sun has come. The mists are cleared.
The mist has gone.
The mist has
gone. We see in the distance our long way home.
Yeah.
I was always yours to have. You were always mine. We have loved each other in and out of time. When the first stone looked up at the blazing sun and the first tree struggled up from the forest floor, I had always loved you more. Oh, wow. That's why he's
beautiful. I memorized it at one point. Like, I knew.
You freed your braids, girl.
You freed your braids.
Your hair to the breeze.
You said you dipped your ends in honey or something like,
I reached in the mass for the sweet honeycomb there. God, how I love your hair. You saw me bludgeoned by circumstance, lost, injured, hurt by chance. I screamed to the heavens, loudly screamed, trying to change our nightmares into dreams. The sun has come. The mist has gone. We see in the distance our long way home. I was always yours to have. You were always mine. We have loved each other in and out of time.
It's so funny because I always it's a beautiful poem. When I read it and then I remember seeing it on the Tyler Perry
film. You were just like,
and the thing is, when she performed it, she was like, in and out, in and out, in and out of time. And I was like,
what is this ghetto?
Like, okay, Maya.
Maya's imagery.
Beautiful, man.
Beautiful. Like, she really has a real key hand on the word.
It's a real wedding poem. Okay.
What's your next one?
So my final one is... a bit more fun, and I love this because it's a book. Okay, so basically, it's by Dr. Seuss.
Oh God, here we go.
And
I love it.
It's from the book "Places You'll Go," and it was written in 1990. And it's one of those poems that I think that I would, if I have children, I would read it to them. I like often.
Yeah.
My nieces and nephews, I'd definitely do the same because lovely. I feel like it's such a emphatic poem, just about trying to it's about journeys and about like ambition. It's quite long, but I'll read it anyway.
Okay.
Oh, the places you will go.
Oh, I know this poem.
Congratulations. Sorry. Today's your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away.
Yeah.
You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what to know. And you know what you know, and you are the guy who will decide where to go. Mm-hmm. You will look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not so good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there, in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew, just go right along, you'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up, you'll be seeing great sights, you'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you do. So be sure when you step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will succeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So be your name Boxham or Bixie or Bray or Mordecai Ali Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. I love that. I love Dr. Seuss.
It's so nice.
I love Dr. Seuss because it's basically, obviously, it's for kids. He wrote for kids, but obviously he's one of those writers that writes for kids, but adults take the message.
Yeah.
It's one of those timeless things.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Truth Pixie
by Matt Haig. Yeah.
That style.
Yeah. So it was beautiful. Like, just, you know, because like he doesn't, he presents like, you know, you've got all of these options around you. And if you can't find options here, you go to the next place. If you go to the next place, you can find success elsewhere outside. If there's no streets that take you here,
then you can
leave town and go somewhere else and find any way. Don't go down the wrong street because, you know, don't mix up your right foot with your left. But he said it's not always going to go well, you know. So like, you know what I mean? It's just like, and the more you think about it, you will succeed 98.75%, you know? So I was like, because like he's like, you know, like you will succeed in your thoughts because like all the places that you'll go, all the things that you will achieve, all the people that you'll meet, all the things you will do, that's your life.
Yeah.
And I think that setting up children with those kinds of mentalities and those kinds of stories, because I remember the book.
I remember the book, and
it's like, you know how he's got all those cats that look really, like, look really weird. There's kind of like those who's and whatnot, but like, you know, it's a guy who's walking around with his briefcase.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's kind of like in the town and then he's not. Then he's out and he's walking up all these hills and he's on in air balloons and he's trying to go places and whatnot. So beautiful, beautiful poem. Oh, the places you will go.
Lovely. It makes you feel like so like hopeful.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like I have options.
You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act.
It is.
Just never forget to be dexterous and deft and never mix up your right foot with your left.
Right, as long as you're walking and you're talking and you've got a brain and you're thinking
just keep
grafting, mate.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I like that. That's made me really happy.
Mm.
Right, my final poem, obviously we gotta take it way back to my main G, William Shakespeare.
Oh god.
I was gonna do Darling Buds of May, but apparently I've been doing that too many times and I can't do that because everybody knows that's one of my good favourite sonnets. So I'll take it back to one that I used to love before that, which is Sonnet 130. Always made me happy because it made me realise like imperfections that you think you have are somebody else's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And perspective is key. And even it's not even about somebody else, but those imperfections, or I don't even want to call them imperfections, just things that maybe you don't like or you want to change, they are intrinsic parts of you. And for me, I think that value from people comes, I mean, I guess it's just a religious thing, but I regardless of what you do, of who you do, of like the friends that you have, the money that you have in your bank account, you have intrinsic value because you are made, like you have been perfectly made. And that the value for me stems, like the value of people and myself stems from being the conscious creation of a higher power in a way. And I think this sonnet is kind of like, it's a little playful, but it's perfect at the end because the rhyming couplet at the end really brings it together to be like, you're not comparable to anybody else. So it's called Sonnet 130. My mistress's eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun? If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. I have seen roses damasked, red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight than in the breath that my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go, my mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with false compare. It makes me so happy. It's like,
any she belied with false
compare. It's like, she is as like, by heavens, I think my love as rare as any she belied with false compare. I think it's the most beautiful thing. And it just makes you think like, yeah, like I might, my cheeks aren't rosy. They may not be rosy, but I'm like perfect in my own way and I cannot be compared. And yeah, it just reminds me of that quote, like no one is you and that is your power. You know, if you, maybe you lean into that more, you lean into yourself more than leaning into expectations, leaning into what you think the world wants of you, leaning if you lean more into other people and that comparison, it's a really damaging thing because you're doing a disservice onto yourself.
Yeah.
Because you cannot be compared to anybody.
Yeah.
And when you know that, I think that's like, for me, it's like you've reached a higher power. It's like, you know, this is me and I can't be compared to anybody and I can't compare myself to anyone, be it good or bad, you know? So, yeah. Sonnet 130 makes me really happy. Reminds me that I'm unique and lovely.
Yeah, cool. And those are,
I feel like the, I'm very,
those,
you know,
are the poems that
the mood has just gone like, ah.
Just relaxed. So those are the poems that we had. Let's run through them again. So your poem was?
My first poem is Love After Love by Sir Derek Walcott. My second poem was Caged Bird by Maya Angelou. And my third poem is Sonnet 130 by William Shakespeare.
My first poem was Tribes by Tapua Mogabi. My second was Pablo Neruda's When I Die. What's it called?
When I die.
I don't know. I forgot what it was called.
Bance. You've actually forgotten.
Yeah. When I die, I want your... I don't know. Because I turned my internet off and I literally just forgot.
Oh my God.
Let's go. So my first poem was Tapua Mogabi's Tribes. Second was Pablo Neruda's When I Die, I Want Your Hands on My Eyes. Third poem was Oh, the Places You Will Go by Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
And we had honorable mention to In and Out of Time by
Maya Angelou. Yay!
Cool.
Do you feel happy?
Yeah,
I feel really relaxed.
I feel content.
I feel like...
This is my everyday state. So
really?
Welcome.
Aw, thanks. I feel really relaxed.
Don't unpack the book.
Unpack.
Don't unpack.
Like my life.
No, no, it's fine.
No, but don't worry. Yeah. I won't.
Yeah.
I'll unpack later.
I mean.
All right, guys. Tell us all your poems that make you happy. Comments. Subscribe down below. That. And then we can move on to our next section.
All right, cool. So, all right. So, Ray's.
Oh, God.
The re-education of Ray.
Yeah.
I'm changing this.
Oh, God.
In a way that will get Ray to actually have to do some work. Because. I'm tired
of you giving me jobs.
No, I'm giving you things to do because okay. I like, if you guys remember several weeks back, I asked her to watch Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
I haven't.
Has it been done?
No.
Well then, so there's an issue.
Yeah.
Here, mm-hmm. You're not taking this seriously.
Yeah.
You're not doing the work that you're supposed to be doing.
Right. I will.
You have.
Okay. What are you changing it into?
So what I'm going to do? I'm going to assign you tasks.
Wow.
Each episode.
So not only do I have.
And you need to feedback and review. That piece
okay.
that I've given you
okay.
to do.
All right, so yeah. What are you going to give me?
I'm going to give you Waiting to Exhale.
I've seen it.
I know.
Read the book. Like, I've seen it.
Yeah, I want you to watch it again. But also, okay. I want you to...
But this isn't really...
I want you to go through the soundtrack.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
And I want you to talk through the artists that are... That
wow. There.
Yeah?
That's some homework.
It's just listening to it.
This is dissertation level.
Listening to it.
And so you want me to watch Waiting to Exhale again?
Watch Waiting to Exhale again and then listen to the soundtrack.
The soundtrack.
Yeah?
Okay, cool.
And you have, you know, ample amount of time
yeah.
to do so.
Okay.
Everybody, you heard it here first. That is what she's going to be doing. She's going to be Waiting to Exhale.
Also, Angela Bassett in that film. Gang Gang. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. That is Waiting to Exhale.
That is...
No.
I know it's not Waiting to Exhale.
Wait.
Is it not? Anyway, we'll watch it.
Wait, it is because it's got thingy in it as well.
Who?
Our girl. I know her name, obviously.
Do you?
Whitney.
Okay.
Look at your face, you thought! No, low-key, the name, like, I was shit. I was literally shaming myself. I was like, fuck.
Okay.
In my head, I was anyway, like, so I want to dance with somebody.
So Ray is watching that and listening to the soundtrack, and we're going to come back to the artist on that soundtrack. And
I know, obviously, it's got Whitney.
With various questions about said artists and said songs. So that is a re-education of Ray for a week.
Not much.
As for curated by Alex Reed, circa 2019.
Kind of. Well, we started a while back, and then we just got lost.
We just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, just found the table. So mostly flicks.
Mostly flicks. What have we watched this week?
So what have you been watching this week? What's new? What's up?
So I finished Stranger Things season 3.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this season. I think the one aspect that I enjoyed is the fact that obviously the boys and the two girls, Elle and Max, are like, you know, growing up. And I think it's that, it's that growing up awkward teenage phase that was played out so wonderfully. And I love the relationship between Elle and Max, the girl, the ginger one.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, she, you know, she's like, come to do feminist queen up in here. She's like, you know, don't let, don't let boys, you know, dump his ass. And then Elle just doesn't know what's going on in life. And she's like, I dump your ass. why you lie? Friends don't lie. And I'm like, oh, it's so cute how these like principles that you have as a kid get like, you know, there's a gray area and all of a sudden it's, you know,
But I think that's one of those, it's like, you know, it's one of those seasons that I was like, I think it's a really good season. I really enjoyed it. And what it did, what it did make me think though, it kind of made me long. I think I said this before on the episode, but I think it did make me long for a childhood that I never had.
Like going out.
In a decade that I never, that I was never going to experience anyway.
But you were, you could have, I did.
No, no, but I think it's like, I feel like there's something specific about being a child in the 80s. In comparison to being a child in the 90s or the noughties, do you see what I mean? There's something very specific about it. There's the lack of technology. There's the trust that you have of your children, of your parents.
You're
have
back
of
at
your,
eight.
You're back at eight. You're back before the sun comes down. That's when you see you back at this door.
Yeah.
Inside.
And then you can get to go on adventures, you
like
know?
Like the whole season is done in the summer holiday.
Basically.
It's the first time when they're not at school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all done in the summer holiday. And it's a, but it's also a great like story of like, this season's a great story of them literally growing up.
Yeah.
Like Elle, and what's it? Will? Is it Will?
Will, yeah.
Elle and Will actually being in a relationship. And
then you see the different types of relationship, like Mike with Luke. Is it Lucas?
Max with Lucas.
Max with Lucas.
Max with Lucas.
And how their relationship is very different to, it's not.
But they're very like, they bounce off each other.
They bounce, yeah.
And like, so she's constantly annoyed, but I know that she
genuinely cares.
Likes him.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, we've broken up several times. We've broken up so many times.
I've taken him back.
And like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all of that stuff. Yeah. And it's just back and forth. And she's fiery and he's just like goofy and all that stuff. And then obviously.
Being taught how to, you know, buy her something nice, but then you're a child, so you really can't afford anything.
Yeah, like, and I think that even. Is it whose mum is it? What's
Will?
Is it Will's mum? So it's not Will and Elle's relationship. What's his name?
Oh, sorry, Mike. No, who's Mike again? I don't know.
I can't remember like their faces. I remember their faces, but it's just like their names. The actual
names.
But like, and obviously Lucas's sister in the show.
Oh my god, stand out.
Yeah, stand out.
Stand out.
She was like,
she did it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally like, no, like this young girl, because she was a nerd, but she doesn't want to be a nerd.
Yeah.
So we've got, I think, it's not Millie. Dustin is like the goofy one.
Dustin.
I love Dustin.
Dustin's great.
Mike is the one who's with Elle. Lucas is the black guy with Max.
So Mike and Elle's relationship.
And it's Will. It is Will.
Mike and Elle's relationship. Elle and Will, like, really, like,
the weird one.
Not a weird one, but he's
the one that wants to hold on to childhood.
Yeah, he wants to hold on to childhood. He wants to hold on to the friendship. He wants to make sure that the friendship.
Nothing changes.
Nothing
you know
changes.
When you grow up and things start changing and you get
thing.
Scared.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you start to, now you're no longer doing like the childish things. You're
and he just wants to play D&D, which you can still play as an adult, by the way. I play it.
Yeah. Like, so he's wants to play D&D, but obviously they're just like, well, we've got bigger
girls.
Things. We've got things
to
figure out. I'm trying to figure out my relationship. Like, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, and.
That was really lovely to see, actually.
And what are the names of the guys that worked in the ice cream parlor?
Oh, Steve.
Steve and.
Oh, I forgot her name. Well, her name is Maya Hawk. I forgot her name in the actual show.
But their relationship was great. Like,
I thought it was wonderful. And then obviously she turns out to be lesbian.
Yeah.
And I love his reaction because like, she was so nervous. And then it's like, she was like, oh, you know, and then he started taking like the Mickey out of the girl that she actually likes.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet.
Yeah. And I liked that because it was like, well, this is different.
Yeah.
And obviously
for the time.
For the time as well. And it's like, you know, you can't really be expected to, can't expect it just to think it's going to be the same this narrative. Oh, she has a crush on him. Like,
and they're gonna get, because I thought they were definitely gonna get together.
I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, just kind of cliche.
Yeah.
But I was like,
but when they switched it up, I was like, that's good.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
what I think I loved about this season is that they gave each characters their own plot line, and then in the end, it all came together. They gave them like different limbs of the same thing, but it's about how they come together to figure it
out. Dustin, Steve, Erica, and my girl from the part. Oh, no, I can't remember her name.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot but, her name as well, but she's
those four, like, they, for me, they stole it from me, because obviously they're the ones, obviously, that have not been literally at the forefront of any of it at the beginning. Even even Mike's sister and her and Will's brother, Nancy and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Now, they annoy me, but they're kind that of like their kind of thing, and like, obviously,
because they're like proper like teenagers, young adults
stuff, and then obviously working in journalism and then and being around all these disgusting men,
like these old white men who just have no respect,
just no respect for her at all,
calling her Nancy
Drew. Know what I mean? And he's just basically, he's not being respected, but he's basically just keeping his head down and just trying to get what he wants to get out of it, and like, she's ambitious and she wants more. And even Nancy's mum, like, the thing is, even Nancy's mum
was given,
and she was given a thing, and she's like, you know, the longing,
do I cheat?
The longing for more,
for like spice in my life, and family, like, and giving it. It was a really great season, there was
depth to the season. There was so much
better than season two, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, so it is one of the best ones, and I'm sure there's only going to be four seasons, so I think there's going to be one more, but
phenomenal.
The
young black girl, Erica, was
so many things,
because she likes like My Little Pony, and then it was Dustin trying to explain to her that you're actually a nerd, because these are the things that are like tropes of nerdism or whatever, and I thought that was phenomenal, and she's so smart,
she's trying to hide it.
Oh, phenomenal. But
great season.
Yeah, so that's what I've been watching, basically. Just have been finishing that off.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I just finished off New Amsterdam on Amazon Prime.
Oh yes, how was it?
Really good.
Yeah.
It made me just, so childbirth, I'm just like,
just people, we're talking about this today.
Just people, I'm just like, this doesn't look fun for anybody involved. I'm just very much like, no. Like, I mean, there are several scenes. So New Amsterdam is it's a hospital drama on Amazon Prime. It's quite funny, very dramatic. It's no Grey's Anatomy. However, I feel like it's a bit more serious than Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit more serious.
Grey's isn't back yet. It's
nice. Oh, okay. And it's good. It has an amazing end of season one finale. I don't watch Suits.
Oh, sorry.
It's an amazing end of season finale.
Yeah.
It's really great. I started watching this show called The Boys on Amazon Prime as well.
Mm.
And I think it's really good. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a superhero thing.
Ooh.
So in this world, superheroes are common. Like, they are kind of like, when you become super abled as a child or whatever, there's a company called Vought, mm-hmm. who the superhero can work for.
Right.
And they work for Vought, and then they get spread out across the country. Right. So for example, if we were in Chicago, Detroit, mm-hmm. whatever, or Illinois, sorry, not Detroit. We were super abled or whatever, and we were the state's superheroes. So, like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
wow.
So Vought would have that kind of thing. But then obviously the top seven, they're called the seven, they're the top superheroes of it.
Where are they placed?
They're just across everything. Oh, so if there's a big crime or
something. Who gave Vought this power?
This is what I'm saying, this is what we're trying to figure out.
I'm going to watch it.
It's so good.
You know me, I love your recommendations.
So they have the seven and whatnot, and it's about this, one of the superheroes, she takes another one's place and she becomes number seven mm-hmm. of it. But then also, the story is more about these group of mavericks who hate the seven, who hate what the superheroes have done because they have too much power. And like, they get away with so much shit.
Are the mavericks super abled?
No, they're not. But they have knowledge, and they have real world knowledge. And they kind of like, and all the superheroes are ranked. So like, you can be an A-lister superhero, which is the seven. You got the B-listers, the D-listers.
So where's the narration coming from? Is it coming from the seven?
It's just an observation. It's like it's a world.
So it's not just one person.
So no one person's narrating it. You know what I mean? It's a whole perspective. Look, there's so much happening.
Yeah.
Really good. I feel like there's a Me Too moment in it. I feel like it was kind of clumsily thrown in there, but it does kind of enable something else to happen in the storyline. So I feel like, well, it needed to happen. It needed to be a thing. But it also kind of made me understand a lot more about the person who was, quote unquote, generating that abuse on the woman. But yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's very DC-ish, but not really. It's a dark comedy. It's nice. It's good to watch. Like, okay. I was annoyed that I had to leave it yesterday before I went out. But I was like, oh my God, like, I want to
finish it. I'll give it a watch. The Boys.
The Boys, really good.
Okay, nice. Really good. And so today we decided to watch The Pursuit of Happiness, just to fit in with our general theme of things that make us happy. Literally, we just finished it and I started crying because it was such a beautiful film.
It's emotional, man.
Yeah. So general thoughts. What did you think of the film when it came out and when you first watched it?
Every day running. So,
honestly!
The story is about Chris Gardner, who has a son called Christopher, and splits up with his wife because, money issues, and they're not having enough money in, and it's a bit very stressful, and payments can't be kept up and stuff. Chris ultimately ends up on this whole journey of, like, wants to become a broker, but obviously I have no place to live, but also I need to sell this osteopathic machine that nobody wants and that all this stuff.
Measures bone and density. It's
generally the pursuit to happiness for all of this stuff. And the book, like, the film, like, I'm in 2006, trying to think about how old I was. 13? 14?
13. Oh, wow, shit, we were young. I watched it then.
I want to say 13.
And I remember it coming out. Oh, my God.
13, wow. 14, yeah. Very, very, very impactful, because it makes you think, like, it's very, like, you know, but it's this whole story of, like, if you strive and strive and strive,
get
knocked down, and strive again and get knocked down again, strive again.
Sometimes
and
just go, tired.
You gotta keep going, keep going, keep going, and then all of a sudden you're a millionaire, and it's a bit like...
It's the American dream, you know?
Yeah,
it's the American dream.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm just like, you know...
Sometimes that's not how things happen all the time.
Yeah, that's not how things happen all the time. But
and also, I think it would have been great if they touched on maybe, like... structural things that
because there was no question of racism in the film at all.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry, you're the only a black man going into the like New York Stock Exchange, becoming a broker.
But I guess it's a given. I guess it's a given. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he walks in and he's the only black guy. He expects that he's not going to he doesn't let it be a thing. The fact that he's even homeless, and in fact, when we saw the homeless people, the majority of them were black.
You know what I mean? Yeah. In a way, it showed personal resilience. And that was great to watch. Yeah. And not great to watch, but it was great to be like, actually, we can go through so much and overcome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it was very dismissive of like the structural hurdles that a black man with a black son will face in that environment. But it was wonderfully done. Always running, as per. And I think what it was great for me to watch is like the fact that it wasn't all the studying that they showed. They didn't show him studying a lot, or you know, it was the going and talking to people. It was the networking. It was the making somebody feel special. It was choosing whether to invest your $5 on this white man who wants to get into a cab, but this white man is ultimately responsible for your future, or choosing to keep that $5 and maybe pay for a suite for your child, right?
It's all about the actions of kindness, isn't it? It's like, well, you know that you can't afford it, but at the same time, you're like, it's reputational things as well. If he was to say, no, I don't have $5. It's like, well, why is he being like that?
Yeah.
And then it's prejudice on his scores, on his life, on his kind of
experience. But then again, I also feel like there is this, when you work in certain environments like that, there is this expectation of the life and standard that you live. Mm-hmm. So that old white man, you know, at the cab being like, hey, give me $5, I need to go somewhere really quickly. He really much just assumed that, of course you have it, you're in this position with me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that disconnect there when we talk about, and this is the thing when we talk about jobs being more inclusive, it's like we have very different lives outside of work,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be able to do things that doesn't allow for that type of environment to foster where you're actually suffering just because you're in an environment.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we had a ski trip at work, I was like, well, one, I didn't go.
School.
Yeah, even. Because I was just like, I never skied in my life. And also, I don't like the cold. And also, why am I paying £400? to ski. And for you, it's just, you know, with work people. In my head, I'm like, oh my God.
It's even the whole question of the internship and...
paid, like the internship wasn't paid. Yeah, and there was that whole like, do I do this or not? Yeah. Because people who do those things are just people with families who can put them up and stuff.
Like, you know.
But it's not always the case.
And that's the thing. And this is why I even like, you know, what Galdem's doing in regards with the, you know, when they have, I think they kind of... they want to get more writers in from across the country and whatnot. And like there's a scheme for what it's called, but they like journalists can put people up on those schemes and whatnot. So even things like that, those help the whole, the racial and class issue.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a really big class issue.
We do talk about race, but class is just as paramount. Issue. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I loved the film. Jaden was great.
Oh, such a cutie.
He was so natural in that.
And I love the conversations that they would have.
Yeah.
Just random conversations of a black father and his son.
Yeah, just a father and a son, regardless. Like, it's nothing like, they're not talking about anything other than life. Like, he just wants him just to have the best.
Stupid jokes here and there.
Yeah, he just wants him to have the best possible upbringing.
And when like they were like made homeless and he had to sleep in the toilet, the fact that he made him play like a make-believe game so that
dinosaurs are coming and all that stuff,
so that they can, it could be tolerable for him, it could be fun for him in a way. And you just look at the sacrifices that maybe your parents make that you might not be privy of because of, you know, the sunshine rosy nature of childhood sometimes.
Yeah,
it's a lot, man.
It is a lot. But brilliant film.
Yeah,
6 out of 10.
Wow. 7.5
and
out of 10.
I was so annoyed that he did it. I was so.
You give it a 6 out of 10. You're just saying it's just above average. You make me sick.
I'm going with the rotten potatoes percentage. Okay. I hate the fact that he lost to Forest Whitaker in 2006 in the 79th Academy Awards.
Yeah.
But I'm glad Forest Whitaker won. If that makes any sense.
Mm.
I'm happy that he won. But also, I wanted Will Smith to get
Will
something.
Will Smith deserves. He's actually played an array of characters.
Yeah.
Not like the big blockbuster films that he does, but like the, you know, hardcore ones. They're really, really good.
Yeah. I like his quote unquote worthy films. The ones where they have like them deep meanings and whatnot. Collateral Beauty will forever
Collateral Beauty is amazing, but it makes me cry too much.
Will forever be the film that I attach to him. Keira Knightley in that, Helen Mirren in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just, you know. what's her name again? Kate Winslet.
Yeah, Kate Winslet. Like,
beautiful.
It's a beautiful film.
Beautiful.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, that film made me cry.
It was tough, but I was like, I didn't realise it was going to be so deep. But such is life.
Life is deep.
So that's it. That's the end of the show. You got
any announcements?
I don't got any announcements, but basically, get your tickets to King's Place, innit?
Come
to the London Podcast Festival to see us talk and discuss things.
Yeah.
I want to say things and wings, but we just don't have wings. So just come and hear us discuss things.
We can get wings later.
Oh, yeah.
I would actually like some wings.
Need some wings.
Yeah.
So... come and watch us talk about some stuff. It'd be Thursday.
You might not have another opportunity.
You might not. So Thursday the 12th of September 2019. And the link will be in the description below. I don't know what other things. Check out What Matters at What Matters WAR on Twitter. Just, you know, listen to conversations I have on there, podcast wise. Do you have anything you want to add?
No. All right. All I do is write.
Write and get on. All right, cool. Well, we'll see you next week. Next time.
Bye, guys. Have fun. See ya. Love you. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack.
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.